morning, our message is found in the book of 3 John. And before we get into 3 John, I want to just set it up just a little bit, because 3 John is one of those unfamiliar books of the Bible. We have been looking at the minor prophets on Sunday, and they are unfamiliar, but also the book of 3 John in the New Testament is an unfamiliar book. 3 John was written around 90 AD. Now get this, that's 60 years after the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of the church. 60 years later. It was written by the Apostle John. And at this point, he is the only living member of the original 12 disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is written to a man named Gaius, or Gaius. And as John writes to Gaius, or Gaius, he mentions two other people who are important that you need to remember. He mentions a man named Diotrephes. And Diotrephes is a leader within the church. Demetrius is most likely, Bible scholars believe, that Demetrius, the second person that John mentions, was a missionary or a Bible teacher. He was a traveling missionary, traveling Bible teacher. So we have the Apostle John, he's writing to Gaius or Gaius, and he mentions Diotrephes and Demetrius. And so with that, I want to read our passage again. John refers to himself as the elder. You can understand why. John, 3 John, beginning with verse 1. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you, and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you are walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their way in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. So if I come, I will bring up what he is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers, and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace be to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Now, this is a Father's Day message, and so we'll do something just a little unusual. Before we get into the message, I want to show a brief video. This video is about 2 minutes long. There are no words in the video. It may take you a second to kind of catch what's going on. But as you watch the video, and again, there are no words, it is a perfect picture of what a godly father is like in the life of their children. So keep that in mind. It is a picture of what a godly father is like in the life of their children. And so with that, we'll play the brief video, and then we'll pray and get into this morning's message. Let us pray. Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you so much for your grace. We thank you for your goodness. And Father, I pray that through your word, that you would speak to our hearts. Would you exalt your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ? Would you encourage us and strengthen us, stand beside us and help us, as we seek to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most captivating and illuminating illustrations of what it means to be a godly, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered father took place at the 1992 Summer Olympics in Barcelona. It was during the 400-meter dash. Derek Redmond was longing to capture a medal. He was running with everything that he had. He could see himself achieving gold. And as he was running with all of his ability, he injured his hamstring. As he injured his hamstring, it became quite clear that he would not get the gold medal. And not only would he not get the gold medal, he probably would not even finish the race. He only had 175 more meters to go, but he was hurting and he was in pain. And the only thing that he could do was limp toward the goal. As that was taking place, his father was there with him in Barcelona. He was in the stands. He was watching his son along with 65,000 other spectators in the stands. And when his son was injured, he saw what had happened and he stood up from his seat and he began to make his way onto the field, not even thinking about what he was doing. Now, can you imagine what that must be like? 65,000 people in the stands, and this one man stands up attempting to make his way onto the field. As he is attempting to make his way onto the field, and he has to maneuver around other fans who are there in the crowds, he finally gets onto the field where his son is. And as he's on the field, the security, they don't know who this man is. They want to stop him. And what he said later on in interviews is, as they tried to stop him, he said this, "I would not let them keep me away from my son." He had to maneuver around the security guards, and he got to his son. Later on, Derek Redmond said that when his father first got to his side, he didn't know who it was. He was in such pain, the tears were falling so freely from his eyes that it was his father at his side and he didn't even know it. And so in his pain, he at first attempted to brush his father away, but his father knew what to do. His father threw his arms around his side. And when his son realized who was there and who was supporting him, then Derek Redmond and his father, they walked all the way the rest of the 175 meters. And here's what I love, that when they got right to the finish line, here's what happened. His father stepped back and let Derek Redmond cross the line by himself. What a beautiful picture of what a father does. You see, the ministry of a father, the blessing of a father, is to love their children by supporting them. The blessing of a father is to stand beside their family, stand beside their wife, stand beside their children. And when their children are attempting to run the race that God has set before them, to throw their arms around them and to support them and to walk with them every inch of the way. You say, what does that have to do with 3 John, Pastor Mike? So that's a wonderful Father's Day message, but does it connect with the message of 3 John? Well, I believe it does. So, Pastor Mike, why did you believe that? Well, if you read the book of 1 John, if you notice in chapter 1, verse 4, notice that John, the Apostle John, identifies Gaius as his son. Notice, look at what he says. He says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth." Now, what does that mean? We know that Gaius was not John's biological son. What was he? He was his spiritual son. In other words, what John is saying to Gaius is that you are like my son in the faith, and I am your father in the faith. Now, this isn't an unfamiliar concept to us. Think about Paul and Timothy. If you read through the pastorals, Paul calls Timothy again and again, my son in the faith. And so what John is saying is, Gaius, you are my son in the faith, and I am your father in the faith. But notice, it's not just that. Notice what you see. He calls Gaius by a special name 4 times. What's that special name? He calls him beloved. What does the word or the name beloved mean? It means just what it sounds. It means dearly loved. So he's not only saying, you are my spiritual son, John is saying, I dearly love you. Now, this is a short letter. It's one of the shortest, or it is the shortest letter in the entire New Testament. And look at how this one word, beloved, is repeated again and again and again. You find it in verse 1, the elder to the beloved, Gaius. Verse 2, he calls him beloved. Verse 5, he calls him beloved. Verse 11, he calls him beloved. I think he loved Gaius. He loved him like a father loves a son, even though there was no biological connection to them. Now, what does that tell us? Well, I just want to take a second, and what it demonstrates is, as we talk about Father's Day, notice we're not just talking about biological fathers, although that's important. We are talking about spiritual fathers. And I think what we're going to see applies not just to biological fathers and spiritual fathers. It applies to biological mothers and spiritual mothers. It applies broadly. Because what we see in 3 John, or what I want to draw our attention to. There's more here than this, but I want to draw our attention to how John loves Gaius, how John supports the ministry of Gaius. See, what we find in 3 John is the aged apostle John comes alongside of Gaius, he throws his arm around him, and he supports the work that God is doing in his life. Let me give you an overview of what I mean. First of all, in verses 2 through 8, we see John support Gaius's ministry, first of all, by delighting in Gaius's ministry. That's verses 2 through 8. Secondly, we see him supporting Gaius's ministry by defending his ministry, verses 9 and 10. And then finally, we see him directing Gaius's ministry in verses 11 through 12. So he's supporting Gaius. Gaius, God is at work in Gaius's life, and John is coming alongside to love him and to support him, and he does it in three ways. He delights in God's work in Gaius's life, he defends God's work in Gaius's life, and he directs God's work in Gaius's life. And what I want us to do is to learn something about that for the ministry of fatherhood and how fathers, be they spiritual, biological, mothers, biological or spiritual, how we can influence, love, and support the ministry of God in our children's lives. First of all, we begin that a godly, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered parent loves and supports their children, first of all, by delighting in God's work in their children. This is what I love about 3 John. John is talking, and look at what he says in verse 3. Or actually, before we get to verse 3, in verse 2, he begins by praying for him. And as he finishes praying, he says this, verse 3. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth. You see what John says? He says that what was taking place is I heard a report about how God was at work in you. And what I heard about the way that God is working in you, my first response was to rejoice. I celebrated the work that God was doing in your life. And what I want us to know is that it is a vital responsibility, it is of vital importance that a parent rejoice in the work that God is doing in their children. It's easy for us to see all the ways in which our children go wrong. Amen. We have hopes for them. We have dreams for them. We have our own ideas of who they want, of what we want them to be. And when they don't, when our dreams and our goals for our children don't meet what they intend to do and how they intend to live, we can be overly negative. And we can focus on all the things that are wrong. But what I love about this is that John doesn't mention anything wrong with Gaius's ministry. He focuses on what's right, and he rejoices in Gaius's ministry. Let's take a step back. What is Gaius's ministry? God was at work in Gaius because Gaius had the gift of hospitality. What's the gift of hospitality? The gift of hospitality is when the Spirit of God empowers you in such a way to open your heart, your home, and in the case of Gaius, maybe even his wallet, to another person, to make them feel welcome, to make them feel accepted, and so that they know that they are loved. That's the gift of hospitality. So God was at work in Gaius. He had the gift of hospitality. How did he use it? There were traveling missionaries who were Bible teachers. They didn't have a place to stay. They didn't know Gaius, but he had the gift of hospitality. And so even though they were strangers to him, he opened his heart to them. He opened his home to them. He probably opened his wallet to them and gave them money. And these people were so ministered to by Gaius that they went back to the Apostle John and they said, you know what? We were in such and such a town and Gaius offered us a place to stay. And Gaius encouraged us. And Gaius fed us. And Gaius loved us. And Gaius put a little bit of money in our pocket too. And they went back to John and they said, oh yeah, we like Gaius. That's a good brother. And John rejoiced in that. See, now let me take a step. I'm trying to go too fast. Because as I was studying this, I was so excited I was about to burst. Because I thought, man, this is so powerful. But here's what's going on. John is rejoicing in Gaius' ministry, but I want to show you what enabled him to rejoice in Gaius' ministry. There are four things that could be a sermon all by themselves, but they're not going to be. Here they are. First of all, John was able to rejoice in Gaius' ministry because he could see how God was at work in Gaius. And if we're going to love and support the work that God is doing in our children, the very first thing we need is for God to give us eyes so we can see how God is at work in our kids. We can already see how they've gone wrong. What we need to pray is, Lord, help me to see where you're at work in my kid. Let me just tell you something that I believe with everything that's in me. I believe that every person has God's work in them to some extent, whether they are a Christian or not a Christian. You say, a Christian or not a Christian? Yeah, that's right. Because even if they're not a Christian, here's what I believe. You don't have to believe me. You can turn your ears off right now. Amen. But here's what I believe, that even if they're not a Christian, I believe that the Spirit of God is working in their lives, trying to direct them to place their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's everybody. Whether they know Him or they don't know Him, God is trying to influence them toward the Lord Jesus Christ. And what we need to do as loving parents, as loving ministers, as loving brothers and sisters, we need to say, Lord, open up my eyes so that I can see how you are at work in my kids and the people around me. John was able to see what was going on in Gaius' life. Not only did he see the work of God, that's number one. Number two, he drew attention to it. In other words, God gave him the insight. He saw that Gaius was a man who had the gift of hospitality, and then John drew attention to that gift. Do you know, I'm going to tell you something about people. Do you know that God can work in and through a person, and they may not even realize it? Do you realize people have gifts, that people have talents, that God does great things through people, and we think they know, and they don't know? And that one of the responsibilities of a family, one of the responsibilities of the church, is to draw attention to the ways in which God is at work in a person's life, even though they may not see it. That's why we're here. See, that's why when church becomes me, 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 we lose what it means to be the church. That's why when we only focus on ourselves, the church, which should be strong, becomes weak. Because the ministry of the church is about me, but it goes beyond me. Then my responsibility is to see what God is doing in you. And it's my responsibility. It's mine. It's my responsibility to see what God is doing in you and to say that and to draw attention to it. But do you know what your responsibility is? To see what's going on in me, to see what's going on in your brothers and your sisters, and to draw attention to it. So John can rejoice because he saw what God was doing. He drew attention to what God is doing. But notice thirdly, he demonstrates the importance of what God was doing through Gaius. So not only does he say, this is your gift, and this is how God is using you, he says, this is why it's important. So what do you mean, Pastor Mike? Now, I may be going too fast and jumping over things. You're like, Pastor Mike, where are you getting this from? First of all, let me give a plug for Bible study. Because in Bible study, you can raise your hand and you can say, put on the brakes, Pastor Mike. What in the world do you mean? But you can't do that in this setting. So come out of the Bible study anyway. The third thing, the third reason why John is able to rejoice in the work that God is doing in Gaius is because he demonstrates the importance of what God is doing in Gaius. Let me just give you an example. Look at verse, let's begin with verse 5. Now, stay with me. Listen to what he says and stay with me all the way through verse 8. The point is coming in verse 8, but let's start with verse 5. He says this, "Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these believers, strangers as they are, who testify to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God. For they have gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles." Now, verse 8. "Therefore, we ought to support people like these." Why? Why? Notice what he's giving him. A reason, the significance of his hospitality. Why should we support these traveling missionaries? Why should we support these Bible teachers? Why? What's the significance of it? "That we may be fellow workers for the truth." Do you see what the Apostle John has just done? He's taken a gift like hospitality that people could think is insignificant, that people could think doesn't have anything to do with the gospel, and he's just identified, oh, no, 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 no. Hospitality is important. And the reason it's important, because as you open your heart and as you open your home to these people, you are becoming a partaker in the work that they're doing in the world. Do you see what John just did? He gave his gift. He demonstrated its significance so that Gaius could say, whoa, this is how God is working in me, and this is why it's important. Do you realize that people have gifts and they don't know what the usefulness of their gift is? See, we tend to think unless you teach the Bible, you're not really doing anything. And you know what's wrong with that? It's unbiblical. Read the Bible. Read what the Bible says about gifts. There are all kinds of gifts that God's given to the church. And Bible teaching is only one gift. It's one amongst many. And guess what? We need them all. And so you may not teach the Bible. Okay, that's not what God's called you to do. You do what he's called you to do. And if he's called you to open your heart and home, if he's given you the gift of hospitality, then you do that for the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you do that, it is going to support and encourage the body of Christ. So John sees what's going on. He sees God's work. He drew attention to God's work. He demonstrates the importance and significance of God's work. And then he celebrated it. He made a big deal out of it. See, here's what people need. Here's what people need. Children need this. Ministries need this. We need somebody who loves us. We need somebody who's committed to us. We need someone who knows us. We need them to stand beside us. We need them to throw their arm around us, and we need them to say, I see all the good things that God is doing in you, and I celebrate that. I want you to know I see it. I want you to know I support it. I want you to know I stand with you. We need that. We need that in our families. Don't you ever let your family culture disintegrate into becoming nothing about or into becoming only you should be doing this and you should be doing that and you ought to be doing this and you're not. Never let your family relationships degenerate into that. What your children need, what your wife needs, what your husband needs is for somebody to stand beside you and to say, I praise God for what he's doing in you. John loves and supports Gaius by delighting in God's work in his life. But secondly, not only does he delight in what God is doing in Gaius, he defends it. Notice verse 9. John says, I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes. Now, Diotrephes is one of those villains in the Bible. When you hear the name Diotrephes, you ought to hear dun dun dun. Diotrephes. We don't talk about Diotrephes. We don't mention Diotrephes, but oh, we should. Because I'm going to tell you something. You may have never heard his name, but you've met him. I dare say Diotrephes goes to every local church. You never heard of him, but you've met him. Diotrephes. Who is Diotrephes? Well, Diotrephes was a man within the local church. And here's what we need to say about Diotrephes. Is that while Gaius had the gift of hospitality, Diotrephes, dun, dun, dun. He had the gift of leadership. But here's the thing. It was leadership gone wrong. He was a leader. He was a man of influence. He was a man of authority. He was the type of individual that when that Diotrephes said, you do this, people like to run and do it. When Diotrephes said, you go here, people like to go where he told them to go. He was a leader. He had influence. He had authority. But it was leadership gone wrong. He was misusing the gift that God had given him. How was he misusing it? Well, look at what the text says. But Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, there's the first misuse of his gift. See, Gaius was using hospitality in order to support the church. He was using his gift to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. Diotrephes was using his gift to put himself first. Says he likes to put himself first. Now, here's what gets me. Does not acknowledge our authority. That Diotrephes thought he was so bad that he didn't even have to listen to the Apostle John. Now, the Apostle John was one of the 12 disciples. He saw and participated in the earthly ministry of Jesus. But Diotrephes said, I don't need to listen to you, John. I'll do what I want to do. He was lording it over this local church. But it goes on. Verse 10, John says, so if I come, I will bring up what he is doing. Talking wicked nonsense against us. Slandering the Apostle John. Talking wicked nonsense. I don't know, for some reason I don't seem to be able to move past that. Talking wicked nonsense. Let me just give you a clue. Can I stop preaching for just a second? Let me just give you a clue. If somebody in the church comes up to you and they start talking wicked nonsense, you need to rebuke them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let some person slide up to you and start talking wicked nonsense. Because if they start talking wicked nonsense, they're not being used by the Spirit of God. They're being used by the spirit of the devil. And if you join them in talking wicked nonsense, then the spirit of the devil is using you too. Oh yeah, I mean it. Diotrephes was talking wicked nonsense. And here's the thing that gets me. There were people in the church, so Diotrephes would come up talking wicked nonsense about John, the Apostle John. And there were people in the church who were like, oh yeah, you're right, Diotrephes, ha ha ha. Oh yeah, Diotrephes, we'll do what you say, ha ha ha. Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. But anyway, back to the message. Talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers. Now, who are these brothers? The same traveling missionaries we've been talking about. The ones that Gaius opened his home and his heart to and that Gaius was supporting. Diotrephes wasn't supporting them. And he wouldn't welcome them. Says he refused to welcome them. And also stops those who want to. Do you know what that means then? Now put that together with what we've already seen. What that means is that Diotrephes' actions were a threat to what God was doing in Gaius. Gaius has the gift of hospitality, and he's using it for the glory of God. But Diotrephes, who's misusing his gift of leadership, is threatening the work of God in Gaius. Because Diotrephes tries to stop people from using the gift of hospitality. And not only that, look at what he says. And he puts them out of church, out of the church. Now, what kind of sorry church is this? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said it. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have said it. I felt it, but shouldn't have said it. What kind of believers are these? Here, this man is lording it over the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here this man is, he's not lifting up Jesus. He's not ministering in the power of the Spirit. He's exalting himself. And here you have a church full of believers where this man is wrecking things and he's destroying the work of God. He's taking God's precious people. He's kicking them out of the church. And you got these members saying, okay, Dr. Fees. It's a shame. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ should have stood up. And they should have said, no, we're not going to follow you. We follow Jesus. They should have said, if anybody needs to leave the church, Diotrephes, it's you. And there's the door. But they didn't. They said, ha, 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 ha. And because those people weren't doing anything, and they were letting Diotrephes run rampant, it threatened Gaius's ministry. But here's where we see the Apostle John, where he throws his arm around Gaius because he realizes that because the people in the church aren't doing anything about Diotrephes, Diotrephes is going to squelch and extinguish the work in Gaius. And so the Apostle John, the aged Apostle John, stands up and says, I'm not going to let Diotrephes do this anymore. He says, if I come, if I show up at this church, then I'm going to make it known what Diotrephes is doing. In other words, he defends what God is doing in Gaius. That's an essential ministry. Not only do we need people to delight in what God is doing in us, we need people who love us enough, who are standing with us, who will throw their arms around us and say, I will defend you, and I will not let somebody extinguish the work that God is doing in your life. That's what it means to love. That's what the church ought to be about. We ought to love each other so much that if we see someone or something threaten our brothers and our sisters, we say, no, I will not let that go on. I'm going to stand up and defend what God is doing in my brother and my sister. I say to fathers, we need to delight in what God's doing in our children. We need to defend what God is doing in our children. You know, I told you guys a long time ago, I don't even know if I have time for this story, probably don't, that I was on the football team only 1 year. And I remember before I started football, I had dreams of being in the NFL. Dreams. Far-fetched dreams. You know, I didn't have the stature to be in the NFL, the skillfulness to be in the NFL, but that was my dream. I dreamed I was going to get on the field, and once they let me on the field, I'd show them my thing. They'd be like, oh, Mike! I joined the team. They put me on the bench. Sat on the bench all season except the last game. But here I am. I'm on the bench watching other people play. And one game, I'm sitting on the bench, and I didn't know this, but my dad, my biological father, he knew I was having a game. He knew I was on the football team. So he showed up to my game. And I looked out in the crowd, and I saw my dad. You don't know how I felt. I felt humiliated. I felt ashamed. Because here he had come. He'd gotten off work. He came straight from work to watch the game, and I'm on the bench. I sat on the bench for that entire game. When the game was over, I went over to my dad to thank him for coming. And as I was walking to my dad, I felt so ashamed. I felt like, what does he think about me? Is he ashamed of me? And I went to my dad, and I'll never forget this. I'm expecting to see him, you know, kind of ashamed of me being on the bench. And as I got closer to him, I could tell he wasn't ashamed. It wasn't shame that he felt. It was anger. My dad was like he was about to boil over. And I thought, whoa, is he angry with me? And I began talking with him, and here's what he said. He said, I can't believe that coach. He said, that coach should have given you a chance and should have put you in the game at least for a little while. At least for a little while. And my dad went on and on and on about how angry he was with the coach. And he was like, I should go and talk to the coach and tell him how he needs to do things. But I'm going to tell you something. At that point, it didn't even matter to me. I don't know if he ever talked to the coach or not. But you know what meant something to me and still means something to me to this day? Is that when my dad saw what happened, he didn't blame me. He didn't make me feel bad. He was on my side. He was defending me. He was speaking up for me. He was with me. And that means something to me to this day. We need people in our lives. It should be our fathers. It should be our mothers. It should be our brothers. It should be our sisters. It should be our church. People who are on our side, who will defend us and defend what God is doing in us because it's precious. Do you know that God is doing something of great value in the people that are all around you? That God is at work. His work is precious. It is beautiful. And when God gets done with his work, we are going to be amazed. But what that means is in the here and now, we have to defend against those who would attempt to extinguish that work and destroy what God is doing. John, the Apostle John, supports Gaius's ministry by delighting in God's work, by defending God's work, and then finally by directing God's work. I'm going to jump to verse 12, and we get to Demetrius. And Demetrius is one of these traveling Bible teachers and missionaries. And notice what he says in verse 12. John says, Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. Now, I love this. Notice what John is doing. He links Gaius, who has the gift of hospitality, he links him with Demetrius, who is a missionary Bible teacher. Why does he do this? Because by linking these two together, he knows that God can use Gaius's gift to encourage and support Demetrius, and Demetrius can use his gift to encourage and support Gaius. He draws these two together. What is he doing? He is setting Gaius up to succeed. He is putting him in a place where his gifts can flourish. He's allowing him a connection. He's arranging things because he knows God's given him the gift of hospitality. So as his spiritual father, what do I need to do? I need to put him into places. I need to allow him into situations where his gift that I know God's given him, where that can flourish and grow and he can be used by God for the glory of God. That's how we need to impact our families. We need to see what God is doing. Why? So that we can set them up to succeed. So that we can arrange things, so that however God has wired them, that God's Spirit can work through them to the greatest extent, so they can be all that God has called them to be. This is just the gift of hospitality. And hospitality may not be your gift, but whatever is your gift, what we need are those people who will come alongside of us and set us up to succeed so we can do and we can be who God has called us to be. I don't know about you, but there are times when I dream about what the church will be like one day. The people of God, what the church will be like one day. And I dream about that. When we get to the place where God's Spirit is fully at work in all of us, through our personalities, through our gifts, through our idiosyncrasies, when the light of the glory of Jesus Christ shines through us, and everywhere we look, we see the glory of God reflected. When that happens, then we will gather together and we will be able to give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. That's what church ought to be like. It's not that you gotta wait and you gotta wait to get into the church and you can't worship until the worship team starts singing. You ought to be able to come to church and when the usher greets you with a gift of hospitality, you ought to be able to see the glory of God and give him the praise. Oh man. It ought to be everywhere you turn that you see the greatness and the goodness and the love and the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ. How do we get there? We need godly fathers. We need Christ-centered fathers. We need Spirit-empowered fathers. We need biological fathers like that. We need spiritual fathers like that. We need biological mothers like that. We need spiritual mothers like that. We need brothers. We need sisters who love us, who support us, who delight in what God is doing, who defend what God is doing, and who direct in a godly way what God is doing for the glory and honor of God. How do we do that? We need to allow God to do that in us and through us, through the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, Pastor Mike, I never had a father who did these things for me. I never had a mother who did these things for me. Well, here's what you need to know, that in Christ, God delights in what he's doing in your life. That in Christ, God is defending what he is doing in your life. That in Christ, God is directing what he is doing in and through your life. And if you will let him, he will be a father to you so that you can be a father, a mother, a sister, and a brother to your brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I thank you for the Apostle John. I thank you that he continued to minister 60 years after the death and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I thank you for his wisdom. I thank you for the insight that you gave him. And Father, I pray that his insight, I pray that his ministry that is demonstrated to Gaius, Lord, that we would learn something from it. Would you be our Father? Would you help us to see how you are? By your Spirit, Lord, would you help us to understand your work in our lives so that we can love our families, we can love our wives, we can love our children, we can love our brothers and our sisters in Christ, we can love and support them to help them to be the people that you want them to be. Father, would you do that for us, Lord? Would you do that in us? For your glory, for your honor, that the world may know that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. It's in his name we pray. Amen.